The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour One Podcast.
Good afternoon. Welcome in here on a Thursday, and we are off and running, and we cannot wait to get in with you as well on the phones. Before we get to the phone calls, and you can call in now at 855-242-7285, we have a number of guests, including Heather Dinich. She'll be joining us in a couple of minutes, breaking down the conference contenders, sleepers, and more. We'll talk about the CFP, anything new on that, and get Heather's take. She's very high on the Big 12. You may remember a conversation about a week ago on Get Up with the two of us where she said she thought the Big 12 had a much better chance of getting two in the CFP than the SEC did. Insinuated Georgia really didn't have that tough of a schedule. We'll get into that with her coming up here in a few minutes. The sports business world, Rick Carl will join us in a few minutes. The reaction a week later on NIL. I know it's a story we can't get away from. We'll talk about the Crimson Tide with Stephen M. Smith in about 90 minutes. Blake Topmeyer from USA Today talking about Lane Kiffin. Have things changed there? What about Auburn football? Can Brian Harsin get it going in the right direction? Darren Heitner, he is a well-known lawyer, and he has dealt with NIL very extensively. And we'll also talk to Josh Kendall from The Athletic. I saw something earlier today I thought was really interesting. I want to run by you. Stuart Mandel in The Athletic asked the question, which former college football player do you think would have profited the most from NIL? And we'll go back a number of decades here. Herschel Walker, who played 80s. Tim Tebow, who played about 15 years ago. Reggie Bush played a little bit longer than that. Johnny Manziel, Joe Namath, Ken Stabler. I mean, there were a number of really interesting names he threw out. And he decided that he thought initially maybe Tebow would have capitalized on his fame more than anyone else. However, he felt Tebow, because of what he stands for, would have ended up earmarking most of the money to his various charitable and religious endeavors. So he came up with the answer. Who is it? He says, Johnny Football. Of course, hey, for all we know, Johnny Football may have made millions playing anyway, based on some of the things he said since. But you know, remember, he got in trouble with autographs and things. But I mean, that moniker itself, Johnny Football. Can you imagine what that would have been worth? He recently disclosed he made $33,000 from those illicit autograph signings, according to Stewart, that the NCAA looked into, and I think he was kept out of a single play. But think about it for a second. Think about it for a second. I mean, you go through time, and I think Herschel Walker, that's 40 years ago. Bo Jackson. Just think about your favorite team and the most popular player. We had the former sheriff of Mobile yesterday call in. He thought Johnny Musso would have done very well, and that's 50 years ago. Namath is 60 years ago. But I tend to agree with him a little bit on Johnny Manziel. Yeah, he was not the best player to ever win the Heisman Trophy, but he may have been the most exciting. And I think exciting player is really what would drive this industry. You know, some are making a lot of money now. There's a story out today about Olivia Dunn, the gymnast from LSU, who may be signing a seven-figure deal. Who knows if you can back those things up? But certain players you know could. Zion Williamson could have, but he was only there for a year. So I think it's really interesting to think about. I'm going to throw this out there. We have 4 hours to talk about it. But who would you, if you had to put your $10 down on which college football player of any era would have done the best? I jokingly said this to somebody the other day. You know, think about what different players would have done and the advertisements. Kenny Stabler, who was well known to frequent the bars down in Gulf Shores, I mean, he would have made a fortune alone just representing the Florabama. Can you imagine the commercials for the Florabama? Yeah, Namath, famous in college, more famous out of college. Just think of, you know, through the 70s, the 80s, the 90s, the various players. And I'm trying to come up with somebody better than Johnny Football. Reggie Bush would have done well. Keyshawn Johnson, he was a flashy player. It's not the best player. It's the player who had flash. I mean, can you imagine what Joe Burrow would have done just 2 years ago in LSU? Can you imagine? Can you imagine the amount of money a year like that? I'm looking back over time, trying to see if somebody. What do you think? Hey, go back 60 years. You think Billy Cannon could have made some money after the Halloween night run? I think so. Going through history, O.J. Simpson, maybe not a good example. Archie Griffin, he won the Heisman twice at Ohio State. He won the Heisman twice. Marcus Allen, a flashy guy. Herschel, Bo, Barry Sanders. I'm just going through some Heisman winners here. You know, Danny Werfel, as popular as there has ever been. Peyton Manning, Eli Manning. Everybody from the SC era. It's pretty remarkable. RG3. I mean, what a name that was. Lamar Jackson, Baker, Kyler. Anyway, just some thoughts. And we'll play with this throughout the afternoon. 855-242-7285. I mentioned the guest list. Heather Dinich comes up in a minute. I just had a friend texted me, go, who said the Big 12 is going to get 2 in? Heather Dinich said the Big 12 has a better chance than the SEC of getting 2 in. Your phone calls are welcome throughout the day. 855-242-7285. We'll talk about who could have profited the most from NIL. Your phone calls and Heather Dinich next, right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
We are back here talking about a lot of things, including the upcoming college football season with Heather Dinich, who of course covers the CFP for ESPN. Heather, great to have you back, and it seems like it was just yesterday we were talking about all these exciting things on television. How are you, and where are we as you start to break down the college football season?
I'm good. Thanks for having me on. You know what? I'm excited to be talking about football, man. We went through a week or so of Supreme Court name, image, and likeness, CFP meetings, and all that. And I feel like media day, summer camp is right around the bend, and we can start talking about some ball again. It's good.
Yeah, and you break it down. You go through a number of the leagues in terms of, you know, which teams have the best shot, and certainly, you know, there's not a lot of earth-shattering predictions in because we tend to have a pretty good idea. But the one I want to ask you about, and you know where I'm going here, is the Big 12, because a lot of folks down where I live are still in a mild state of shock over what you said the other day on GetUp in relation to the Big 12. For those who missed it, maybe didn't get up that early, let's go over that again like it never happened.
Sure. Well, I mean, the question was, which conference has the best chance to get two teams into the playoff this year? And I think it's the Big 12. And I say that because you look at Oklahoma and Iowa State as two teams that have the best path, right? Now, I think the SEC can certainly do it. Obviously, we've seen it before. Alabama and Georgia, right? Could it happen again? Absolutely. But here's why I like the Big 12 instead. Because, first of all, I think that they have not necessarily an easier path, but the likelihood of those two teams facing each other again in the Big 12 championship, it's a different scenario than what you see in the SEC. It's logistical, the way it plays out. They're going to face each other during the regular season, and if they can get to the conference championship game with one of them and having their only loss to each other, then you have a great chance. It makes perfect sense because the Big 12 champ, either undefeated or with one loss, has a great chance to get in, and then the runner-up, either with one loss, right, also has a great chance to get in. So it's the sheer numbers of two excellent teams. But between those two teams, at least on paper, I think Oklahoma is better. I would rank them ahead of them in the preseason right now. But, man, you just can't sleep on Iowa State because they have some real talent this year.
Well, Heather, let's go over that because – a lot of my SEC friends are bristling because they are so high on Georgia, Alabama, and maybe even A&M to a lesser degree. So let's just break it down to, you know, best versus best. And I want to push you a little bit on your rationale there because, you know, it comes down to a lot of things. And one thing that you said the other day, you were concerned. Yeah, you know Georgia plays Clemson in the opener, but you, mm-hmm. you answered the question. I don't want to answer your question, but I want you to finish the thought on Georgia's schedule.
Oh, sure. Yeah. I mean, look, if it's not for that game against Clemson, I think the SEC East. If it weren't for Georgia, let me put it this way: if it weren't for Georgia. Just like if it weren't for Clemson in the Atlantic division, to me, the SEC East has the potential to be one of the weakest divisions in college football this year. And I say that because on paper, I don't know why everyone is so excited about Florida. Their defense was horrible last year. They lost two of their best players on offense coming into this year. Now, by the time November rolls around, is Florida a top 25 team and contending for the East? Maybe, but as we sit here in July, I'm not putting them in my preseason top 25. And I'm sorry, but I'm not, you know, raising any banners for Tennessee and Vanderbilt, right? Or Kentucky, for that matter. So Georgia is an outstanding team that we should be talking about in the college football playoff race. But if they don't win that game against Clemson, then to me, their strength of schedule gets a ding right off the bat, right? But I will tell you that in regards to the Big 12 conversation, if Iowa State doesn't beat Iowa, then my whole Big 12 theory gets blown out of the water.
So I mean, I'm trying to think this one through, and I have thought it through. So they have Clemson at the beginning. We can't take that off the chart. You're talking specifically about the SEC East. But
right.
They also have the opportunity, and you know this, to play Alabama at the end. So
yeah.
I'm still not sure if they lost to Clemson, or if they beat Clemson, if they split the bookend games, one's not on the schedule. How does your theory hold up?
Oh, they're not gonna have any problem getting in if they win the East and they, well, if they beat Alabama, obviously.
No, I'm talking about if they lose one, if they beat Clemson and then lose to Alabama.
then they're going to be considered just like they were even considered as a two-loss runner-up. What was that, 2-3 years ago, right? They're going to be in the conversation. My point is, your comment on Get Up was questioning Iowa State's strength of schedule. And my response was, well, yeah, but if you're going to question theirs, you got to question Georgia's, because the SEC East isn't very good. I mean, if they beat Clemson, that, I mean, what else can you say?
Well, but Heather, one of the weakest divisions in football? I mean that's just...
The SEC East? Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I know you said I've heard you say it a couple of times.
Yeah, I mean, look, if... As going into this year, and because it, to me, one of the biggest drops on it is because Florida lost so much, and defensively they weren't that great last. I mean, why do you like Florida? Do you have them as top 25? What's your
yeah,
argument?
Yeah, I mean,
for,
I think Florida could go 10-2. I mean, they have two of the top five teams in the country on their schedule, but I think beyond that, they're going to win out.
Okay, they might, but. When I look at teams and where they are right now here in July, I can't put them in the top 25 as a preseason top 25 team. I will absolutely give the Gators credit come November if they are what you say they're going to be, which they might. Well, I give credit where it's due.
No, listen, I'm loving listening to you throw throw heat. I mean, I'm taking a break. I'm doing this conversation. Usually I'm the one, like, leaving you speechless, not you leaving me speechless.
No, listen, I think this is so much fun because at the end of the day, nobody knows who's going to win these games, right? I mean, look, I put Miami as a possible team to keep an eye on, and I think they're going to get crushed by Alabama. And then how much longer are we talking about Miami? You know, I don't know. So nobody knows how the season is going to play out, but I agree with you 100% that if Georgia loses to Clemson and beats Alabama, they're in. But if Georgia loses to Clemson and they lose to Alabama, I can't make a case for that.
No. And by the way, I just want to make sure you understand. I am. I would agree with you on that. I'm just not. I only get paid so much to wave the SEC flag.
No, I understand. I mean, and am I missing? Who else is on Georgia's schedule besides Clemson and Alabama?
Well,
I mean that. We can go back and forth about Florida.
UAB.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Kentucky.
Yeah. Yeah. No.
Missouri. They end with Charleston Southern and Georgia Tech. You're not giving much credit there, are you?
No, I'm not. So you got to win those games. So, I mean, they have wiggle room because they have a chance at Alabama, right? That's what it all boils down to. But beyond those two, to me, the schedule as of right now is a shoulder shrug, and we could just play tug of war, I guess, on Florida. We'll see what happens with the Gators.
Talking to Heather Dinich, let me go back to the Iowa State Oklahoma situation. Let's talk about those. Let's talk about Iowa State, because we know Oklahoma's going to be good, very good, and we talked about that mm-hmm. yesterday a little bit. But tell us more about Iowa State.
So Iowa State is good because Matt Campbell has stuck around and he's built a program. So he's got like super seniors on his roster, and they are you hear the cliche of we're a team, right? But I believe it when they say it, that they've got the intangible, but they also have talent to go along with it. They've got Breece Hall, running back, who has the potential to be in the Heisman conversation. Brock Purdy, their quarterback, again, has the potential to be in the Heisman conversation. How many teams can you talk about out of the Big 12 who have two Heisman hopefuls on their roster, right? And just the way he gets them to play together as a team. Now, I'll tell you this. I talked to Matt Campbell this offseason, and he knows how difficult it is. And the challenge for them is different because they're not as talented as a team like Oklahoma. So they have less margin for error. So they have to be so disciplined and fundamentally sound. And the thing is, I have enough confidence in Matt Campbell as a coach that I think he can get them to do that. The question is, can he get them to do it every single week against every opponent and not have those letdowns against K-State and teams that you're supposed to win against?
Talking to Heather Dinich. Heather, let's talk about the CFP. I know there was some news this week. Unfortunately, R.C. Slocum has some illness issues. What's happening there, and does it, and with one coach replacing another, does it really change the outlook, or do most coaches think similarly when they're in that room?
I don't think necessarily it changes the outcome. First of all, hopefully R.C. Slocum is going to be okay. You know, obviously, there are a lot of people out there pulling for him. He's diagnosed with a form of Hodgkin's lymphoma at Texas A&M, so that he is receiving treatment for it around where he lives, and Tyrone Willingham has replaced him. And Willingham was on the committee in the inaugural first two or three seasons of the CFP, so he's been through this before. The coaches' voices are so important in the room because they do bring a different perspective, right? And there are just there are different ways that they look at it, obviously, as opposed to an athletic director, right, or a female reporter, or somebody who might be more analytic in terms of their approach to it. So there are times where others in the rooms will look at the coaches and say, hey, you know, what do you think about this? And they will say, this is what we see on paper, is what we're seeing on film matching up with this, and have those types of conversations. And the coaches are all different. I remember, Paul, when, the very first year of the committee, there were just some people who would really defer to some of the coaches to see what they thought about it. I mean, Frank Beamer was on the committee, you know, and he's since rotated off, but their opinions are certainly held in high regard. But I've also been told that they don't necessarily carry more weight than others in the room.
It all begins over these next 2 weeks with media days all over the place, and we will continue, as always, talking to you, Heather. Thank you so much. I don't think you've heard the end of this audience today.
It's all good. Hey, man, SEC fans, they keep me in business. They keep me in business. It's all good.
We love the spunk. Hey, thanks, Heather. We'll talk to you very soon.
All right, guys. Thanks. Bye.
Heather Dinich bringing some serious heat today. We'll talk about what she had to say and more from you at 855-242-7285 right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. 10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Welcome back. Let's get some reaction to everything that's gone on so far. And we begin with Chris, who is up next. Hey, Chris.
Hey, Mr. Feinbaum. How you doing today, sir?
We're doing great. Thank you.
Yes, sir. I'm just going to get straight to the point, okay? Listening to Heather Dinich, I know she's hired by ESPN as a expert on college football. I'm probably going to make her mad, make some folks mad that I don't consider her an expert in what she does. I don't see how she can be classified as an expert at what she does. Listening to her opinions and about what she thinks this and thinks that, I don't see how she comes to what she comes her opinions and about who she thinks will make playoffs and who she thinks gonna have two teams in the playoffs and this and that and the other. It absolutely made no sense, anything that she was saying. And it ain't just because I love the SEC.
I don't want to be forced into defending her because I don't agree with her either, but she is very knowledgeable.
Yes, sir. I understand that she knows her college football. Yes, sir. it's just I don't understand her thinking behind Iowa State, her thinking behind Oklahoma. Oklahoma has a history. We all know of getting somewhere and getting blown out. They play no defense, and Iowa State is nothing when it comes to getting to anywhere in college football. They may have a good season, but as far as being one of the Final Fours, I just don't see her logic in being one of the Final Fours and possibly going undefeated or having one loss and that being better than a Georgia team, which I feel is going to beat Clemson and have a better chance of going undefeated and having a showdown with Alabama in the conference championship game, and both of those teams getting in like they did in 2017-2018, than Iowa State and Oklahoma. And it ain't just about this conversation that she had. It's about several others in years past. I don't agree with some of her playoff rhetoric that I call it on some of the teams that she thought to throw out there, some of the paths, downing Alabama a lot, wanting Ohio State in all the time. It's pretty obvious that she should be fair and impartial when it comes to that kind of stuff. And I know ESPN has put her in a spot to be, you know, when it comes to college football playoff, that she's their primary reporter. And I respect that. But as far as being an expert, I just can't call her an expert at her field. I know she studies college football all year round, but in listening to that report, it was just sickening to me, and I personally just wish they'd have somebody else doing it, somebody that's more knowledgeable, somebody that's played it, somebody that's more
experienced. Well, let me stop you right here, because just because you played college football doesn't make you any better than anyone else when it comes to evaluating the overall field of the game. It does make you better to understand the X's and O's, and I've said that before.
Yes,
I didn't play college football, and I don't try to argue X's and O's with experts who have been on the field. But I think she is eminently qualified to study the game as a layperson in terms of who she thinks is going and who she's not. I've been with a lot of ex-football players who don't know any more than somebody on the street when it comes to predicting football correctly. They may know more about designing plays, but I don't think that's necessarily fair to her. Appreciate the call. And again, I don't mind. I don't agree with her. I mean, I was on national television with her the other day disagreeing with her, but I do resent when somebody says, well, she doesn't have, I'd rather have somebody who played football. I mean, we got enough of those, okay? Let's continue with more phone calls. Tex is up next in Washington. Hey, Tex, go right ahead.
Hey, Paul, thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
I was very intrigued with your who in past years would have done well in name, image, and likeness. And the very first name that popped into my head was Vince Young. And I was thinking about a friend of mine who is a professional in El Paso, and the walls of his office are papered with framed Sports Illustrated covers that had Vince Young on them, and there were a lot of them.
I bet.
But then I thought about, there is a Texas dynamic that has grown stronger and stronger over the years, and that is every university football team in Texas that is not Texas, the University of Texas, roots against them. So you ask a Baylor fan who they're rooting for next Saturday, they'll say, I'm rooting for Baylor and for whoever's playing Texas. So in that sense, I think Johnny Manziel got a got a more would have received name, image, and likeness support from a broader spectrum of fans, and that he was so exciting. But so was Vince Young. But I'll finish up by just saying I wouldn't mind having in my pocket the money that Vince Young got underneath the table.
Yeah, no, though. I mean, yeah, I think maybe the better question I should have said is not who would have made the money, but who did make the money.
I had a friend who played Division I basketball at a school that often goes to the NCAAs, and he just raises his eyebrows and grins. So,
to this day, I heard a story before you go, Tex, about a player. This was 50 years ago that a school left $50,000 in cash in his driveway, and I once asked him about it many years later. He didn't deny it.
Oh, that's a lot of money then.
Yeah, he was a good player.
Gotcha. I understand. Well,
it turned out that he may have been worth it.
You know, I think just looking at it from a pure market sense, those are good investments generally.
Well, there was a certain school that won a national championship a couple of years ago with a controversial player, and one of my neighbors was an alum, and he said, "Listen, I hope we don't ever have to get caught, because I really believe in integrity." But if you ask me, was it a good investment? Yes. Hey, thank you, Tex. Really good to hear from you.
You too. Take care, Paul.
You got it. Let's check in with Evan next. Hello, Evan. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul. How's it going?
We're doing great.
I have two, and I'm sure somebody's probably brought it up before, but I believe the troll job Cam Newton could have done in the 1 year he was at Auburn trying to sell laptops would have been amazing.
That would have been great.
But the other side of it, what about LSU's Tyrone Mathieu as the Honey Badger?
He would have done quite well. Yeah. And now remember, you know, he may have infringed on his earnings ability his final year, but he had one of the great, great nicknames of all time.
I mean, that man could have sold enough security systems in the state of Louisiana to never have to play pro football.
I think you're right.
But I just wanted to throw those two out there. I didn't know if anybody had, but I thought they would have done pretty well.
Those are really good ones. Hey, thank you. Marcus is up next. Hey, Marcus, go right ahead.
Hey, Paul, thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
So I got a couple of things. While I was listening here, I heard your first caller talking about wanting somebody to play college football to do the shows more. And I got to disagree with him on that, because as somebody who has a degree in broadcast journalism, it aggravates me when I see guys get jobs like that just because they played football. And I listen to some of them, you know, not to bash anybody, but I listen to some of them talking and things like that, and it's like, man, this guy was not prepped for this. He wasn't trained for this. But
listen, there's a place for them. And I frankly believe that in the booth for a game, the analyst, you know, should be a former player or coach. But
right, I agree with that.
I can't tell you how many times I've sat on a desk at ESPN or somewhere else with five or six people, and I'm the only non-player, and you know, sometimes you get the feeling as if, you know, you shouldn't even be there, and there is a fraternity, and that's okay. But I understand why people think that, because that's all we see. But I will right. dare say that, you know, someone who comes from the other side can have a you know, in terms of projecting, predicting, analyzing, can be just as smart and are not colored by their experience, which doesn't always help you analyze, particularly a coach. And that's, I'm more talking about a coach than a player.
Right, and I agree with that. But back to the reason I called, the NIL deal, I have two players, like everybody else so far. The first one is more of a local player. I'm an Alabama fan, so I'm thinking about somebody who could have sold in Alabama, Tyrone Prothro, before he got hurt. That year he was having was magical.
Yeah, you're right. And you know what? I think even after he got hurt, he may have made so much money because we all felt so terribly about it.
Right. I mean, he definitely never had to pay for a meal for at least 10 years after that. the other guy would have been more of a national recognition. Deion Sanders. I mean,
Deion would definitely be in anybody's top list. I agree with you on that. That's a fantastic analysis. Hey, thank you so much for the call. And it's interesting about the former players. And I don't want to. And this came about because somebody said Heather did not have the right. I'd rather hear from a former player. I think former players have great perspective, but they also don't see it as a layperson sees it, and especially when evaluating coaches. And it doesn't mean they don't have a good opinion. Most of the time they do, but sometimes they are jaded by their own experiences. We will take a break. More to come right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Number of guests to come. Let's continue getting your reaction. A lot of people reacting to what Heather had to say. Jason is up next. Hello, Jason.
Hey, Paul. How you doing?
We are doing well. Thank you.
Yeah, I was just calling about Heather Dinich's report. I think Clemson is the real team in danger, Paul. If Georgia.